pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Tennis Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast are presented by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. And welcome, everybody, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is currently early Saturday afternoon, May 27th. And I'm Rose, as always, Scott Reichel, once again, going solo for this pod. And it should be a very fun one, and it's a very important one. It's one of the most important episodes of the year because it is officially time to preview and give out outright picks for the French Open. So we have the second Grand Slam event of the year, and it's time to preview it. So I'm looking forward to it. But before I get into any of the previews, I do want to discuss the overall schedule for this episode. So starting off with the usual, we're going to do the recap where we talk about what happened last episode. Then we're going to go through the outrights, but we are going to go through a pretty interesting order. We're going to talk about the overall odds for the winner. Not all of them, though. In fact, we're only going to focus on the first couple of favorites, just so you get a read on what the odds makers expect to happen in this event. Then we're going to go through the actual quarter odds, and then we're going to talk about the, once again, outrights to win the whole event. So we're going to briefly mention the landscape of the odds to win the whole thing. Then we're going to deep dive the quarter. Then we're going to deep dive the actual outrights to win the entire event. Simply put, you got to walk before you can actually run, and I figure it makes more sense to talk about who has a shot to actually make the semis first, baby steps, and then work our way into who we're picking to win the entire event. So I got to at least talk about the elephant in the room for the French Open, which is a relatively open field, because once again, Nadal is not playing. He's going to be out indefinitely, and as a result, somebody else has a chance to actually win this event. It has not happened in a while, but either way, Nadal is not here, and even though tennis fans are really upset by it because they want to see if Nadal could potentially win it again, tennis players around tour have to be somewhat relieved because Nadal has been the ultimate boogeyman in this event, and nobody can ever beat him. So with him being out of the equation, it does open up an opportunity for some players to win potentially their second Grand Slam if you are Alcaraz or if you are Medvedev, or maybe you're looking for your first, your long-awaited first. You are, for example, a Tsitsipas, or maybe you're a Casper Ruud and you got tired of being the bridesmaid last year. If you are Sinner, if you are Rune, there are a couple of guys here who have a decent chance to potentially win their maiden Grand Slam, but there are a couple of guys as well who, once again, Alcaraz and Medvedev can win their second. But anyway, I'll mention the odds later. I did want to briefly discuss that just to remind everybody that Nadal's not actually here. So if you were going to take a long shot to win the French Open, this might be your year to do so, because every other year you've been doing it, you've been basically burning money. But now you might have an actual shot at it. So once again, we'll talk about that in a little while, but wanted to discuss that idea, or at least the landscape of the event briefly. But wanted to get into the recap of yesterday's episode. And overall, we did pretty well in Lyon and Geneva. So for starters, we won the lock. We had Jari Moneyline at -125 against Dimitrov. We thought Dimitrov, with his older age and with the amount of marathon matches he's been in, just to reach the final, he'd run out of gas. And also, I like the way Jari was playing. And Jari ended up winning really a tale of two sets. Dimitrov ended up going to a breaker in the first set, had a couple of unforced errors in that breaker, and Jari ran away with it. And then immediately, Dimitrov fell apart in the second set. And I believe Jari went up 4-0. and he ended up burying him 6-1 in the final set. So overall, really, really easy winner for us on the lock portion. For the dog, though, dead wrong. We had Cerundolo, a -4.5 games of +110 against Fils. We knew Fils was the teen phenom from France trying to win his first ATP title in his home country, but he was cramping pretty badly in that marathon match against Nakashima, and then he got through it. But I was concerned about his overall, let's say, fitness level against Cerundolo, who had completely dominated Nori in the semis of that event. So I thought that with the rest advantage, or at least the significantly less time on court, Cerundolo would take advantage of it, and he did not. Fils looked really good, dominated most of the match, and ended up winning in straight sets. So we were dead wrong on the dog, but we were 100% right on the lock. So split those. But to get into the reason why Saturday was a great card for us, to go all the way back to the outright episode, we gave out Jarry to win in Geneva at 11-1. So cash the +1100 bet for us felt good. That's kind of the perks of potentially waiting after day one of a tournament, because you might not have taken Jarry in the initial, I'd say, odds, but once you saw him destroy Lahovic, or once I saw him destroy Lahovic, I knew I had to have a piece at 11-1, because he dominated a very good clay player who was in good form. Lahovic just won an ATP title about a month ago, and Jarry took him behind the woodshed. He absolutely buried him, and at that point, I knew that Ruud would be a difficult battle for him, but I wanted Ruud and I wanted Jarry, because I thought whoever won that match would win the event, and Jarry did. So cashed the 11-1 outright for us. First outright in a while at a very nice plus price, so hopefully that is a good omen for the French Open, but a good overall Saturday for us. Let's keep it rolling here for the French Open, and now we're going to segue into the official preview for the outrights in the French Open. So starting off with the odds. And now, I mentioned before, it's basically a two-horse race based on where the odds are located. But Alcaraz is +160. Djokovic is +250. Rune is 9-1. And Medvedev is 10-1. So I'm going to focus on those four guys first, then do the quarters, and then get back into the outrights once again for the whole thing. Alcaraz being the favorite and Djokovic being the second favorite sounds right. Alcaraz has been in great form. He's been really, really good all year. And Djokovic, despite being the Australian Open champion and being a two-time French Open winner, he has struggled a bit on clay this year. So it does make sense that he's, I don't call him an underdog to Alcaraz, but he kind of is, because if they were playing against each other, I do think Alcaraz would be favored slightly. Probably -110 apiece, but maybe -115, -120. But the point is, I do think Alcaraz should be favored in this event. Djokovic should be second. I'll mention, if I'm going to get into any of those outrights in terms of betting later on, but I wanted to at least bring it up that according to the odds makers, with Nadal being out, it's basically a two-horse race between Alcaraz and Djokovic. I'll mention if I agree with that in a second, but the point is, I wanted to mention the odds. So if you want to take Djokovic to continue his push for the calendar Grand Slam, that's +250. Alcaraz at +160, I think, is reasonable. But once again, you're backing a guy who's never won the French Open before at +160 does seem a bit dangerous. But that's going to do it for the brief discussion for the favorites, Rune and Medvedev. They've been really good on clay this year. Medvedev did win in Rome, so he won a Masters 1000 event. His odds were around +2000 a week and a half ago. Now they're cut in half at around 10-1. You could occasionally find a 12-1. But the point is, it does seem like Medvedev is the popular dark horse candidate to win this event, because he was brutal on clay in the past, and now he's randomly really good on clay. And Rune, once again, made the quarters last year. Very good clay player, and you can make an argument for him as well. But that's going to do it for the brief discussion of the favorites for the French Open. Now we're going to transition over into the actual quarters. So we're going to go in order, starting with the first quarter, then working our way down to the fourth quarter, and then once again, we will go back to the actual outrights to win the event. But I wanted to at least give everybody a breakdown of the quarters, because that tells you how safe a player's run's going to be reaching the semis, or at least how many potential long shots there might be in a particular region, so you know where to go for some long shots to win the whole thing. So we're going to start off with the first quarter. You have Alcaraz as the massive favorite at around -250. Do I agree with it? Of course I do. I'm not going to make a case for anybody else really in this region. There is a -175 in BetMGM though, so you can save 75 cents by shopping around. So once again, shop your lines. So Minus 175 on Alcaraz. That I actually might go to the window for. Minus 250, I'm not going to. 170, though, 175, that's pretty generous. I do like that a lot. Now, Tsitsipas is the second favorite at plus 400. Musetti is the third favorite at around 14-1. Then you have Felix at 16-1, Norrie at 20-1, Korda, shout out to him for being back, at 35-1. And I'm not going to waste anybody else's time. Alcaraz is going to win the quarter. Once again, not going to waste anybody's time. You could argue maybe Musetti or Tsitsipas. Now, Alcaraz does have to beat Musetti and Tsitsipas, but Musetti, we know, is very good on clay some of the time. Other times, he's a head case, but when he's on, he's really good, and he was able to beat Alcaraz last year in ATP final. I believe that was in Hamburg. But the point is, Musetti, I'm not picking. I think he's too volatile. Felix, no chance. He's been awful this year, or at least for his standards, been underwhelming. And he retired, or I should say withdrew, from a match at last tournament because of a shoulder injury. So I'm a little bit on the fence. And I actually think he might be on upset alert in the first round against Fognini. So we'll see how he does there. Norrie, I'm not touching. I think that he's a good clay player. We saw him beat Alcaraz earlier this year. Alcaraz was at roughly 50% health, and it still went to a marathon third set. But I'm not sold on Norrie. Simply put, the serve isn't there, and when he's not going to win any free points on a serve, especially on clay, I have some concerns about some unforced errors over the course of a long match, and he doesn't have much firepower, so I think he's going to lose. But simply put, I think you're going to see Alcaraz probably against Tsitsipas in the quarters, but I think Tsitsipas is always susceptible to getting upset. Alcaraz, though, he's just the best player in this quarter by a wide margin, and I think at 175, I'm going to take it. I'm not giving out anybody else. I don't see any value. If you want to make a case for Zapata Marais at 50-1, I'm rooting for you. Can't be me, but I'm rooting for you. But anyway, that's going to do it for the short breakdown of the first quarter. I promise the other quarters will be longer. So Djokovic is favored to win the second quarter at around minus 225. At least that's what I see on DraftKings. Shopping around, it is minus 160. So once again, shop your lines because you saved roughly 60 cents just by the first two quarters. Comparing the favorite to win the quarter, and I look through two books. So once again, shop around. But Djokovic at minus 160, Rublev is at plus 650, Kachanov is plus 1200, you have Batista Agut at 1800, besides that, you have Wawrinka at 18-1, you have Fekina at 20-1, Hercas at 20-1, Humbert at 22-1, Sonego at 25-1, and that's basically it. So for starters, I got to mention Djokovic, who I mentioned before is the second favorite to win the event. He has made the quarters minimum in each of the last 13 French Opens, so he's been a sustainable option to make the quarters, and then after that, you might be on your own. But the issue with Djokovic isn't even based on his current form. It's kind of connected to the current form. It's the injury to his either elbow or arm, because he's been battling the injury while using an arm sleeve in a couple of matches, and he has not looked that sharp. Lost to Musetti, got taken to three sets against Van Asha, ended up losing to Lajovic. He's kind of been all over the place, lost to Rune in three. But the point is, Djokovic, I do think, will win the quarter, but I want to at least discuss some potential long shots here, because the issue with the Alcaraz quarter was really just talent. I didn't see many guys that I could envision winning a bunch of rounds and pulling off some upsets to potentially make a deep run in the event. And I do think you can make an argument that is a little bit different in this event, or at least in this quarter. I do think you can make a case for maybe a Kachanov, which I think is pretty tempting. And I think if you want to talk about the overall odds for Kachanov, where he really can showcase some really just solid skill, and he has a very favorable draw early in this event, I do think there's a little bit of value actually on Kachanov at around 12-1, because I'm going to read off his potential pathway, and you could stop me if you think that there's somebody who can really give him a serious run, or Kachanov's really on upset alert in the first couple of rounds. Facing Les Tien in the first round, he's roughly minus 6,000. So Les Tien has battled injuries, and I know he's a Frenchman, but Kachanov should kill him. Then he's going to face off against either Kipson or Albert. I'm assuming Kachanov wins that comfortably. Then either Wawrinka, Ramos Vinolas, Kokkinakis, or Evans. I'm assuming Evans, maybe Wawrinka, but the point is Kachanov will be a pretty decent favorite in that event, in that match too. So you're already in the fourth round. So that's a pretty decent pathway early on. And then in that fourth round, he would face off against probably Rublev. But Rublev has an interesting path too. Facing Dejir in the first round isn't easy, I'm not saying that Rublev's going to lose, but Dejir has been good on clay so far this year. That could be interesting. Then he should be able to beat Moutet or Kazox. So I do think that I might have butchered that pronunciation. It might be Kazoo. I'm not totally sure, to be honest, but I do think that you're going to see Rublev make it into the third round. Then he's facing either Shelton, Sonego, Manorino, or Umber. I think Rublev should get there. But once again, I think it's pretty difficult, at least comparing the two guys. I think Kashanov has an easier draw than Rublev does to at least get to the head-to-head matchup there. And I want to pull up the head-to-head matchups between those two players because they've faced off a decent amount since they are both Russian. But Kashanov has been pretty good against Rublev historically, so I do think there's some value there. But Kashanov in the head-to-head is actually 3-2. And to go through the recent meetings, they faced off on clay this year in Madrid, and Kashanov beat him 7-6, 6-4. So they faced off twice on clay this year, actually. Faced off in Monaco, and you saw Rublev win 7-6, 6-2. You saw them face off in Madrid, and Kashanov got revenge, winning 7-6, 6-4. But the first set went to a breaker in both matches, and each guy won a clay match. So it might be up in the air, but I do think Kashanov has some legs here at 12-1. If and only if you think that Djokovic's arm is going to act up again, and he'll be well below 100%. But I got to at least mention Djokovic's quarter, at least his path for the quarter, because it is quite favorable, and I'm going to be fully honest with it. So I think Djokovic probably wins the quarter once again, but I'm not going to really make an argument against taking a 12-1 long shot there to win the quarter. Is it going to happen? Probably not. But Kashanov occasionally is, well, I'd say he's pretty well known around tennis circles for putting his best efforts forward in Grand Slam events. He's really not that great in like 250s or 500s, or I know he had the dream run to win a Masters 1000 event a couple years ago. But the point is, he's mostly a Grand Slam tennis player, made the semis in the Australian Open, made the semis in the US Open last year. He's a big match guy, at least to a point. He's not the kind of guy who's going to upset somebody in the semis, but he can get you the semis. And I do think with his history of making deep runs in Grand Slams, 12-1 I do like. Now, Rublev, I'm a bit out on. He was very good about a month or two ago. Recently, a bit more up in the air, but I'm a bit more concerned with the overall value here at plus 650, because he'd have to beat Kashanov and Djokovic. I'm not interested at 650. I'm only taking Kashanov at 12-1 solely on the premise that Djokovic might be compromised physically, and I'll take a flyer. But if Djokovic is healthy, he's going to beat everybody. So I think Djokovic wins the quarter. I'll give him out once again at minus 160, and I will go with Kashanov as my long shot here at 12-1. If you want to take a flyer on Wawrinka or Fekina, I'm rooting for you. Fekina, I thought about actually, because I do think his talent is undeniable on clay. The issue is he's a bit of a choker, and he blows a lot of matches that he's winning. But he's in Djokovic's initial region there. So he's going to have to face off against Djokovic relatively early in the round of 32. And if that's the case, I'm not picking you. I think that if I'm going to pick a long shot, I want someone that can avoid Djokovic as long as possible until Djokovic is maybe compromised physically and is going to be well below 100%. Early in this event, I expect Djokovic to bury people, and I think that as a result, Fekina might be in the pathway, or I should say the train tracks of Djokovic. And I think because of that, Djokovic should be able to get a pretty easy win against Fekina. Maybe Fekina takes a set, but if Fekina was in the other section, maybe I consider it, but I'm not interested. Hercaz is a solid player in terms of ranking. He goes to breakers all the time, but he's not going to be Djokovic. He probably won't be Rublev, probably won't be Kashanov, so I'm not interested. That's it for this section for me. Give me Djokovic and give me Kashanov, and those are going to be my two picks for the second quarter. And moving on to the third quarter, you have Rune at plus 140. You have Rude at plus 300. Fritz at plus 900. Cerundolo at 12-1. Jarry at 14-1. Baez at 18-1. You have Kecmanovic at 20-1, Struff at 20-1, Tommy Paul at 22-1, Dzanchulp at 25-1, Lajovic at 35-1. I'll stop there. Do I think anybody besides the top three in Rune, Ruud, and Fritz are actually going to win this quarter? Probably not, but there are a couple of really good long shot candidates and they're pretty identical in terms of play style. And of course, I'm talking about Jarry and I'm talking about Struff, because Struff made the final in a Masters 1000 event. And I know Jarry just won an event on Saturday, so fatigue could be a bit of an issue, but his play style can really give players problems. And him and Struff are kind of in the same boat. They can come to the net, they have big serves, good forehands, and they are able to really, really pressure their opponents into making very difficult passing shots because they try to shorten the rallies. Now, the problem is they're going to be in a collision course or on a collision course to face off in the, in the round of 16. So one of these guys will lose because they're against each other. And as a result, you might have to hope your Cinderella can hold on for a couple of rounds there. But the initial path for both guys, really not bad. Struff's opening match, not great. Matchup against Leshika, that could be an over. I think it's going to be a long match, but Struff has been in good form lately. And Jari's having a matchup against Delian. Historically, Delian's given him a bit of fits. I think Jarry still won the majority of the matches, but they have been rather long. If Jarry can overcome fatigue, I think you got to take a flyer on him because he has been really, really good. And at 14-1, I like the value. And besides the, of course, difficult top three in the quarter, you're looking at his pathway, or even Struff's pathway, because once again, they're facing off against each other relatively early. He has a matchup against Tommy Paul in the second round. Paul, not that great on clay, also not that tall. So Jarry should be able to hold. I think he'll actually beat Paul relatively comfortably in that second round match. Then he has a matchup against either Struff, Leshika, Giron, or Majelkovic. Majedovic. So the point is, I think Jari's probably either against Struff or Leshika, and that's going to be an over. I think that's going to be a tough match, but Jarry really is in good form. So I think 14-1 makes a lot of sense if you want to take a flyer for him. I think I'm going to actually stay away from Struff the more that I thought about it, because the more that I think about it, Struff's going to have to beat him relatively early on and then get the murderer's row on the other end. I don't think Struff can do that. Now, I did find a 25-1 on Struff on BetMGM. That is more appealing. Now, BetMGM does have Jarry at 9-1, and I found 14-1 on DraftKings. So I'll take the 14-1 on Jarry. Struff at 25-1, maybe that'll be my like Yibing long shot there for the quarter. Like Yibing, I took last tournament just to make a run of 25-1, and he actually won a couple rounds, ended up beating Cecchinato, then got injured and retired. But the point is, every now and then you throw a flyer out there and you hope it sticks. Struff has proven that he can make deep runs with his serve and volley tactics, or at least his aggressive serving and occasional volleying tactics. So I do think Jari's the better player. But you can argue you get a bunch of tiebreakers and maybe that turns into a coin flip. So, you know what? I'll take a flyer there on Struff as well. I tried to talk myself out of it, but then I found 25-1, and those odds are a little bit too much to pass up on. I will not take plus 2,000, and I would have been out entirely if this was an episode of Shark Tank. But at 25-1, that's probably worth it. So I'll take a shot there. But as for the actual favorites in this quarter, the question is, which one do I take? Now, Rude, I think it'd be a dark horse to win this entire event. The issue is, I don't trust his mental resolve this year. And it seems like he's been noticeably frustrated pretty often in a lot of these matches. And we saw it against Rune, actually, in Rome, where Rude was up a set in a break, then he got broken, and mentally, he completely checked out. He just threw in the towel, and Rune buried him. And my concern with Rude is that in 3 out of 5 set matches, I know he's the defending runner-up, but mentally, he was in a much better state last year, and I do think that Rude, with his tendency to short-circuit at times, especially this year, I think I'm going to stay away from him. I just don't think there's much value on Rude at 3-1. Fritz is interesting at 9-1, because he's got a very good serve, and he has been pretty good on clay so far this year. The question is, do I think it's realistic for Fritz to actually win the quarter? Probably not. He has a matchup against Momo in the first round, then probably Rinderknecht or Gasquet should get through those. Then a matchup against Cerundolo, which is really tough. I know Cerundolo just lost to Phils, but I got to at least bring it up. Cerundolo is still a really good clay court player, and that is not a great match for Fritz. So that could be a bit tricky. Then he would face off against Rune, and that's going to be a problem. So I think I'm going to stay away from Fritz. If you want to make a case for Rude solely based on his overall draw, I'll at least mention the draw for him. Matchup against Yemmer, that's E-Yemmer, not M-Yemmer. Then a matchup against either Bublik or Zepieri, so Rude should be able to get through that. Then either Lahovic or probably Dezanschulp, so Rude should get through that as well. Then a matchup against probably Jari. So I think Jari against Rude would be a hell of a matchup, but since Jari just beat Rude in basically Rude's backyard, because Rude was the two-time defending champion in that event and then lost to Jari, I think you're getting a good value on Jari at 14-1. I think Rune probably wins the quarter, if I'm being honest, because I do think he's the best clay player on here, and maybe I'll mention him again in the tournament outrights to win the whole thing. But I think Rune's going to win it, so I do think plus 140 is interesting. Now, I've mentioned cramping before being an issue, but assuming that there is no bad health, I think plus 140 is probably worth it on Rune, and I will take flyers on Jari at 14-1, and I will take a flyer on Struff at 25-1. But that's going to wrap it up for the third quarter. And moving on to the fourth quarter, you have the Medvedev quarter, where he has a Sinner in his draw. He also has Zverev and Thiem. So to go through the actual odds here, you have Medvedev at plus 185. You have Sinner at plus 225. You have Zverev at 6-1 and Thiem at 14-1. Chorch is 16-1. Tiafo is 20-1. And Dimitrov is 22-1. Dimonor is 25-1. Echeverry is 28-1. Draper's 35-1. I'm going to cut it off there. So Medvedev is, of course, the common pick here, because he just won a Masters 1000 event on clay, and he does have a relatively easy quarter. Now, it's not insanely easy, because Sinner can give him some problems, but Sinner, truth is, as a Sinner fan, I've really wanted more this year, and I feel like he's had a moment here or there, but on clay, he's had a couple of moments to make some big splashes, and he really hasn't done so, and that's a bit concerning for me. But I feel like, for example, the tournament in Miami, I know it was a hard court event, but that's kind of a perfect summary of what my complaint is about Sinner. He won the insane marathon match against Alcaraz, and it looked like he was going to be poised to win a tournament, and then Medvedev buried him the next day. Sinner, it feels like Sinner's always a guy who's going to finish somewhere in the quarters or semis, and then he's just going to lose, just simply put. I'm not sure if he's mentally ready or physically ready, because he's had some ailments this year where he can actually go all the way. And I think as a result, Sinner at plus 225, it might sound a little bit harsh because I have been a Sinner guy. I found 250, but I'm going to pass. I think Sinner is a guy who can get you to the round of 16 or the quarters, and then something's going to go wrong. And I do think that until Sinner proves me wrong here, I'm not going to blindly pick him to make a dream run into the semis. Now, his path is decent. As a matchup against Mueller, then probably either Husor or Altmaier, then probably Rusevori or Dimitrov, which isn't bad, but then he would have a matchup, then he would have a matchup against probably Tiafo or Zverev. Zverev I'm skipping, by the way. Zverev I have no faith in, and we saw that against Jari in Munich. Once again, he was favored going into the semis, and I basically said, you're out of your mind, and Zverev lost in straight sets. I want nothing to do with Zverev. He's been overvalued since he came back, and we have been all over fading him, and it's, or at least not backing him. And let's just say backers have had to sell their houses a couple of times because Zverev hasn't won anything. So I'm passing on Zverev. I know he was good here last year before the injury, but I can't do it. Simply put, I cannot make a case for Zverev. I do think that plus 600 is on the cheaper side, and because of it, I'm going to stay away. But to go through the other guys here, you have Thiem at 14-1. No chance in hell. These odds are stupid. If I'm going to roast Zverev for being underwhelming after injury, I got to roast Thiem, who hasn't won a damn thing in roughly 2 or 3 years. So no thank you to Zverev. No thank you to Thiem. Chorich is fascinating because he did make a decent run there in the Masters 1000 event a couple of weeks ago. So Chorich has actually been in good form. Now, the question is 3 out of 5, can he actually handle it? I'm not sure, but I'm going to mention his draw, and I think it's really not that bad. But Chorich taking on Coria in the first round, he's going to bury Coria. Coria hasn't played serious tennis in a while. He's had some injuries, barely played the clay circuit, even though he's good on clay. Then he would have a matchup against Thiem or Kachin. The truth is, the odds on Thiem are so dumb amateur team's even going to beat Kachin, and then he would face off against Chorch in the second round. I think Chorch beats Team. Just simply put, I think Chorch is in better form. And then you'd have a matchup against either Draper, Echeverry, or Diminor. And I'm going to let Draper, Echeverry, and Diminor kill each other. But I think Chorch is worth a look here. I think that he's got a pretty decent draw. And if he can get through that little section, he'd have a matchup against Medvedev. I'm not saying he'd beat Medvedev, but I'm saying he'd keep it close. I think there's some value on Chorch. And I do think that 16-1 is quite appealing. I'm going to give a flyer out on Chorch there at 16-1. And I think the only other long shot I'm going to consider, Draper's interesting because it's 35-1. I really like this form in Lyon, but then Cerundolo beat him, and I am a bit concerned about Draper's ability to stay fit. He's also had some injuries over the course of tournaments, so that kind of scares me off. Plus, the first-round match against Echeverry is a brutal matchup for both guys, so I'm going to stay away from that. But I am going to mention one guy that I've kind of roasted on the podcast that might be able to quote-unquote tickle my fancy for a long shot here. I don't mind either Tiafo or Karatsev. Tiafo, just to go through the odds here, is 22-1. And Karatsev is the serious super-duper long shot, which I have to bring up. Because I do think you can make a case for Karatsev at around 50-1. BetMGM has 25-1, and DraftKings has 50-1. That's got to be worth something. Now, I know he's going to face off against Papyrin and then Tiafo, so not the easiest two matches to start. But once again, and then you'd have to face off against Zverev. But 50-1, he regained his form, I'll tell you that much. Like, Karatsev at 50-1 is a pretty talented option. Now, I know he had to go through qualifying. He ended up going through qualifying with relative ease, didn't drop a set. Did he drop a set? No. Did not drop a set. Had a couple of breakers against Herbert. Sure, a lot of people forgot that he was around, but ended up winning the last two matches comfortably. No tiebreakers, no anything. But he made a deep run to the Madrid semis before losing to Struff. But he ended up beating Medvedev in that run, beat Diminor, who's once again in his quarter. I think there's some value at 50-1. That's all I'm going to say. Is he going to make it there? Probably not. But 50-1, I'll take a flyer. If one book has 25-1 and another book gives me double the odds, I'm taking double the odds. Double and give it to the next person. So give me Karatsev at plus 5,000 as my long shot. I thought about Tiafo at 20-1, but I think I like Chorch more. So I think my picks for the actual quarter are going to be Medvedev, Chorich. I'll go through the odds one more time. Medvedev at plus 185, Chorich at plus 1600. I'm going to go with, I'm not going to take Tiafo. I'm going to go with Karatsev at plus 5,000. So once again, Medvedev plus 185, Chorich at plus 1600, and I'm going to go with Karatsev at plus 5,000. That's going to wrap it up for the actual quarter breakdowns. Now it's time for the actual outrights again. We're going to go through the other guys since we already mentioned Alcaraz and Djokovic. But once again, if you want to make a case for Sinner and Zverev in the outrights to win the event, obviously I'm not on them because I don't have them winning the quarter. So that's kind of the trickle-down effect there that we're going to use to go through with the outrights here. So once again, starting off with the favorites, Alcaraz and Djokovic, I have both Alcaraz and Djokovic to win their quarters, so I have them in the semis. They're against each other, though, which could get interesting. So one of them's going to lose. I think I'd rather take Alcaraz at plus 160 than Djokovic at plus 250, because Alcaraz's quarter is easier, and on top of that, Djokovic has not been in great physical form for the last month or two. So if I had to pick between the two of them, I would take Alcaraz. Not much meat on the bone there. Now, Rune's quarter, once again, isn't exactly the easiest, but I am picking him to win the quarter. But you're looking at Ruud, Fritz, even Cerundolo or Jarry, or maybe even Struff can give him a run. I didn't mention Baez. Baez has not been in great form lately, but he's been good on clay. And even Lahovic at like 35-1 can make it somewhat interesting. So Rune at 9-1. I think I'm out. And even though he's very, very good on clay, and even though he made the quarters last year, I do have some issues with the antics, not because I'm against it from just a tennis purist perspective, but he's constantly calling for medical timeouts. He's constantly punting sets. He's constantly yelling at his box. And I think mentally he has some lapses, which might hurt him in 3 out of 5 set matches, especially if you're against the likes of an Alcaraz or a Djokovic or any of those guys, or even just in your respective quarter, you're facing off against Rude. Maybe Rude gets revenge. Rude beat him last year in this event. Maybe you have a matchup against Cerundolo, and Cerundolo's forehand is on. The point is, Rune, I think, is going to make a pretty good run to the fourth round of the quarters. But for the sake of winning this event, I have too many questions about the injuries, or at least that, from what we've noticed in these long marathon matches. He seems to get dehydrated a lot, which is a bit of a concern. Saw that in Australia in his matchup against Rublev. I don't think I can go to the window with Rune at 9-1. If you got it early at like 14-1 or so, then good for you. But at 9-1, I cannot take this. Medvedev, I will take at 10-1. I think that his half is pretty reasonable. And with Alcaraz and Djokovic being on the other side, I think there is some value on Medvedev. Now, the problem with that is that you missed out on a bunch of value because it was roughly 20-1 a week and a half ago. So that's a bit of a problem. But BetMGM has Medvedev at plus 650. So I guess based on that comparison, there is still, in theory, value on Medvedev at DraftKings. But it really, really hurts to miss out on a 20-1 shot and to immediately get basically half the odds right after it, which just sucks. So that's very unfortunate, but I do think based on the draw and based on current form and even just overall like mental toughness, Medvedev last year seemed to be complaining a lot, and every now and then he does kind of shush the crowd. For the most part, though, he's been pretty solid at keeping his nerve. And I think because of that, he is a pretty big threat to win this event. Now, you can get him, as I said before, to win the event at 10-1. I don't hate it. I'm trying to shop around quickly to see if I can find better odds. I would really love like a 12-1 or something a bit higher. But if I had to take 10-1, I'd probably take it. But I do think you can make an argument that Medvedev, once again, could be fool's gold because he is the public darling to make a run. Now, for the other guys, Tsitsipas at 20-1, I'm not interested in. I might have considered making a push to maybe hedge if he got to the semis, but he's in Alcaraz's region, so that's a waste of time. Sinner, no. Rude, no. 18-1 on Rude, I don't hate for a price point, but once again, I don't trust his mental toughness, and that could be a bit of a problem. But I do think that Rude is going to potentially make some noise early in this event. People might want to convince themselves he can win the whole thing, and then something's going to go horribly wrong, and he's going to end up losing. But I'm going to stay away from him as well. So once again, it's a little bit iffy trying to find some potential long shots to actually make a decent run here. But let me just quickly look to see if there's any better odds around for any of these guys. I see Rude at 22-1. On BetOnline. I don't mind that by comparison, obviously. So if you want to talk about comparisons, Rude at 22-1 is not the end of the world. I think that's actually a decent price, but I'm not going to pick him. But I also noticed that BetOnline does have odds on quarters, which kind of changes a lot. So I want to quickly just go back a second and see if there's any value on anybody. And just for reference here, Alcaraz to win the quarter on BetOnline is minus 275. And once again, I found minus 175 on BetMGM. So I saved a full dollar just by shopping around. So I'm encouraging all of you to do the same. It takes 20 seconds, and you're definitely not going to regret doing it. But to look at some of the other guys that I was tempted by, Jarry is at 12-1. No. Yeah, I don't really see much here in terms of serious value, but where is Karatsev? Yeah, Karatsev's also 50-1. Yeah, so I don't see anything in terms of, I'd say, value on BetOnline, but I briefly wanted to discuss that because that was another source for quarter bets. But either way, a time to actually get back into who I might be picking to make a decent run here. To win the event, I think it's tricky because I'm trying to visualize who I think can actually hold the trophy, and I really see, like, I'm going to include Djokovic in who I can visualize because I can see it. I just have some questions regarding it. I don't see Sinner doing it. I don't see Rude doing it. Rune is interesting. I could see Rune doing it, but I'm not going to pick him based on overall potential stamina concerns, some cramping, and once again, some mental stuff where he will punt some service games and he just loses focus. And I think that could kill him in this tournament. Tsitsipas, no. Zverev, no. Rublev, no. Fritz, no. Dimitrov, no. I'm already in the 100-to-1 range. So you see my point. People are going to think it's a relatively open event, but I was kind of setting everybody up here in this podcast. I don't see it being that way. I kind of seeing it looking like the event that we saw a couple of weeks ago in Madrid, where you have Alcaraz, who's one of the main favorites. He makes it to the final, and then you have a random guy who he's going to face off against in the final, and then you have Alcaraz or Djokovic as a massive favorite against maybe, you know, somebody who nobody was expecting. For the sake of this argument and for the sake of our futures, let's say Čorić. Let's say Čorić makes a good run out of the fourth quarter, and you end up seeing Alcaraz against Čorić in a final. Something insane, something like that, where you have a long shot against the massive favorite. The long shot's going to get his ass kicked. So I think when you're talking about who I think can actually win this event, it's really not as open as you think. And I do think that's why it was important to go through the quarters first, because you might be tempted by Rublev at plus 4,000, but I don't have him winning the quarter, so I can't make a case for him. But Alcaraz, I think, is probably going to make it to the final. I think he's probably going to win, but there's not great value on it. Djokovic at 250. Once again, I think he'll lose to Alcaraz in a head-to-head matchup, but his quarter is favorable too. Medvedev, I do like at 10-1. So Medvedev, I am going to give out. I do think there is some value, or at least I think it's a good price for a guy that's playing some very good tennis, especially on clay. So I'll take Medvedev at 10-1, who also has a pretty decent quarter. Čorić is in his quarter, so it could get dicey. But once again, Medvedev, I think based on current form, I have to at least take the current four-digit price at for Medvedev. Besides that, though, I really don't see much. It's a bit of a problem. I really don't see many guys who I think can realistically win. Kashanov at plus 13,000. If you think he makes a semi and you hedge, then maybe that's worth something. But once again, we're in uncharted, holy crap, that would be crazy if that happened type of territory. I don't see it. Maybe it's because I'm so programmed to thinking that men's tournaments go relatively chalky, because we saw the big three basically own every Grand Slam event for about a decade and a half. But I think for the sake of my picks for this event, I really don't have many outright winners here, because I don't see much value. I'd rather bet the quarters. But Alcaraz at plus 160, I think Alcaraz wins the event, if you want to know who I think's going to win. So I guess plus 160, but I hate the odds, so I don't know if I really want to bet it. I found 170 on Bet Online, which is better, but still not great. You get my point. I don't see many odds or many guys I want to actually go to the window with a future ticket to win the entire event. I think I'd rather take the quarters and see what happens. But for the sake of who I'm picking, I'll pick Alcaraz. I'll go with Medvedev, and that'll be my projected final for the event. Gonna be Alcaraz beating Medvedev in the final. But other than that, though, I will throw out a small potential flyer there on... I saw that some people were talking about Jarry. I can't do it with Jarry, at least to win the event. I'd rather take him to win the quarter. But once again, it was a tournament that seemed very, very promising when you clicked on the podcast and you were hoping I'd give you a bunch of long shots and tell you, oh yeah, Jarry, like 350-1. He's a lock to make this. Like, no, I think it's going to be Alcaraz winning the event. So that's kind of where I stand. But I am going to also mention Medvedev, and I will mention a flyer on the quarter. Once again, the quarter plays are my long shots. So I like Čorić and I like Jarry. You get my point. But for the sake of winning the event, I'm kind of talking in circles. I don't have many great long shots for you. Apologies, but I think Kashanov at 130-1 would be my long shot I'd have to throw in there if I really wanted to throw in a long shot. But anyway, that's going to wrap it up for the actual French Open preview and outrights. Now it's time for the Lock and Dog picks for the first round. But before we actually do that, kind of a quick word from our sponsor. Have you signed up yet for Edge Boost? If not, you are missing out. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Similar to buy now, pay later programs, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over four equal weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. Simply deposit funds into your account and Edge Boost will match the deposit so you can use two times the funds on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances. Up to $2,500 you can add to your bankroll. And on top of that, go to sportsgamepodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamepodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 or older to use. Only valid in legal gambling states. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We're also brought to you by Shady Rays. Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off deal, but you also have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays has you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized sunglasses and customizable snow goggles and much more. Shady Rays has durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. That's not all. They also have the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays of confidence because they have your back long after purchase. And if you don't love them, you can exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. No risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for our international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the UK. Go to ShadyRays.com and use the code SGPN for 50% off two pairs of Polaroid sunglasses. Then take your receipt to sportsgamepodcast.com/shady for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Just finished previewing the French Open while giving some outrights on the quarters and for the overall tournament winner. Now it's time to get through the actual lock and dog picks for the first round of the French Open. And for the lock, we're going to do something we don't do that often. We're going to do a two-pick parlay, and we're going to actually take two massive favorites, and we're going to parlay those two favorites to each not drop a set. We're going to take Rune to win 3-0 in his match against Eubanks. And we're going to take Djokovic to win 3-0 in his match against Kovacevic. And those two pay out at minus 114 on the parlay. Individually, Rune is minus 255 on DraftKings, and Djokovic is minus 285. And you parlay those together, it is minus 114. And I'm going to take that as my lock. Simply put, I'm going to fade two Americans that are really bad on clay. Eubanks has really no success on clay in his entire career, and Kovacevic has been god-awful. I'll go through the numbers on clay for both guys. Kovacevic is insanely bad. But either way, to start off with the Rune match, Rune is one of the best clay players in the world, and I mentioned some issues long-term with his stamina and cramping. Shouldn't really be a factor in the first couple of rounds, and he made the quarters last year, so I know he's capable of doing it. But you're looking at Eubanks so far this year. He's only played two clay matches. They were within the last week. He beat Benoit Paire, who was a head case, and then he ended up losing comfortably to Zverev. And I know that Rune is a great returner. Eubanks is really a one-trick pony. He's a big server, big forehand guy, but his game translates really, really poorly to Clay. Hits a bunch of unforced errors, not the greatest in court coverage, and the backhand's not great either. It's like a half one-hander. But I do think that you're going to see Rune beat him comfortably. Maybe a breaker, which is going to be a bit sweaty, but I do think Rune kind of buries him here. I think every set probably finishes around 6-3. So give me Rune to win that one in straight sets. I mean, he's basically like minus 5,000 on the money line, so I'll take him to win comfortably. And we're going to take Djokovic. He's roughly minus 8,000 on the money line, and he has reached the quarterfinals, as I said before, in each of the last 13 French Opens. Kovacevic this year, though, is 0-6 straight up on clay, basically all against challenger-level players. He is 6-12 straight up on clay in his career, and Djokovic has the odds of minus 285 on DraftKings to win 3-0. FanDuel has minus 410. BetMGM had minus 450. So you're saving roughly $1.30 by shopping around. So DraftKings is an absolute bargain. You can straight bet the Djokovic one if you want to, because once again, there is some value at minus 285 when every other book has somewhere north of minus 400. But the point is, Djokovic, even though he has not been in great form recently with the injury, it is round one, so I assume that the injury would impact him later on. He has not played in roughly a week and a half, so he should be able to really, I'd say, limit the effects of the potentially compromised arm early on. And I do think Kovacevic is just not a good clay court player at all. So I think Djokovic buries him. You might see a 6-0 set here. But Kovacevic, not a great server, and he's not a great rallier on clay either. So I think he's up against it. Give me Djokovic to win 3-0 and Rune to win 3-0. That two-pick parlay is at minus 114 on DraftKings. And moving on to the dog, we're going to go with a guy that we mentioned earlier potentially being fade material, and we are going to fade him entirely. Now, I will admit, I think we're going to divide up this dog into two parts. It's going to be the same match, but we're going to go with two separate options. Now, I do want the money line because I want to make sure that if this player does retire, we still get the win. But I'm going to look at the Felix match against Fognini. I'm taking Fognini. I think that there's a lot of value here, and we're going to go with Fognini to win the first set at plus 165 for about half a unit. And we're going to take Fognini for half a unit to win the entire match at plus 272. So a couple reasons why I'm going to take Fognini to actually get the job done and look comfortable in this match. First reason, Felix battling injury. We saw him retire in Lyon. He addressed the crowd. He said he had some pain in his shoulder, and I don't expect that pain to go away in about 3 days. So the point is, I do think that Felix is well below 100%. He didn't even look that great in the first match that he won. And I do think Fognini has looked pretty good lately. Now, the issue with Fognini is his stamina over the course of a long event, which is why we're not picking him to make a deep run. We're only picking him to win one match. But I do think it is quite feasible for Felix, who has struggled this year, to maybe get behind early. Maybe he retires if he's down early. So once again, read your house rules. Make sure retirements count as wins, because you'd want Fognini to potentially get the W if Felix cannot continue over the course of this overall match. But you're looking at the recent performances here. He hasn't been that bad. Lost to Rune in straight sets, so no shame in that. Beat Kecmanovic in straight sets. Beat Murray in three. And Murray was right off of a challenger win on clay. Not the same thing, you know, compared to ATP winning titles, but the point is Fognini has looked pretty good lately, and he is fit, which is the most important part for now. That's kind of the issue with the money line on both guys, because there's a world where either guy gets hurt in this match and retires, but I'll gamble with it and I'll go with the plus 272. But Felix, once again, has not been that good. Even last year, he lost the first two sets to Varias, and then he ended up coming back to win in five. So he has really not looked that good out of the gates, and that's why I'm looking at the first set. And I'm going to go through Felix's recent first sets. It's not good. So he beat Yamos Ruiz, who ended up being the qualifier we backed to win 2-0 in the first round, but that was 7-5, so that was relatively close. Lost the first set to Papyrin, lost the first set to Lahovic, lost the first set to Cerundolo. So Felix has actually lost the first set in three of his last four matches. So he's not in great form, and he tends to be a bit of a slow starter. Fognini, though, even in matches that he's lost recently, he's actually been a fast starter. To look at his recent matches, lost to Rune, okay, beat Kecmanovic in the first set, beat Murray in the first set, beat Cecchinato in the first set despite losing the match, beat Giannessi in the first set. I'm just going to keep going backwards here. Yeah. So the point is, Fognini has had some success in the first sets, and Felix with the bad shoulder, I think, is a bit overpriced. So give me Fognini first set money line at plus 165, and give me Fognini money line in the whole match at plus 275. That's me dividing up the dog into two parts. So once again, the lock for the show is going to be on the two-pick parlay, Djokovic to win in straight sets and Rune to win in straight sets, and that pays out at minus 114. And my dog for the show is going to be a two-parter, going to take Fognini to win the first set at plus 165, and I'm going to take Fognini to win the match at plus 272. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Now, a brief announcement for the actual schedule. We will be doing the Australian Open style format. We will be doing one episode for every round. So there will be an episode for the first round, the second round, then we're going to do one for the third round, round of 16, to get the point. So you will be seeing a lot of tennis episodes over the next week and change. So get excited, strap in, looking forward to this event, as I'm sure we all are. But until next time, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.